Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, good morning, good morning. If you're a guest, my name is Trey Kelly. I am the lead pastor here. And man, we are so glad that you're with us. So glad you're joining us online. It's a big week. School starts back on Tuesday. That's the appropriate response. says the teachers, yes. No, I'm excited, man. I'm excited you guys are here. I'm excited to get back into a normal-ish routine, into hopefully some patterns, find a little stability in our life. It's like what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks. And to kind of kick off, I have a question for you. I wonder if this has ever happened to you. It happened to me a few weeks ago. I was doing some work on my laptop. That's where I do all my writing and research and everything. It's a couple years old, but not too old. And I had a couple programs open. One of the programs, not to bore you, is my Bible study program. It's got a bunch of commentaries on it. It's a very big program, and so it takes a lot of energy. But I was going along, had Word open, I was writing. I opened the internet, I was doing some searching, and I began to notice that the computer just wasn't quite moving at the speed I wanted it to, which is immediate. You know, you're a computer. When I press the button, I want it to happen now. I don't want to press the button and have to wait like 1 second because I'm an American and we don't wait for anything. And so I was working and I began to notice it started taking a little longer, and I'd press a button and it'd take like a second and a half. And then I'd press a button, and it would take 2 seconds. And so I did what we always do. I pressed a bunch of buttons at the same time because that's going to make it better, apparently. And I have a Mac, and so I got that dreaded spinning pinwheel. You know the pinwheel? It was just spinning. And so I did what any of us would do in that moment. I picked my laptop up, and I threw it across the room. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. I wanted to do that. What'd I do? I held the power button down until it turned itself off. It came back on with a little chime, and then everything worked great. I simply reset it, and it magically started working. You probably know this instinctually about any electronic, any gadget in your house, a router, a television, anything. When they stop working, what do? We unplug them, we count to 10, we plug them back in. If you ever call customer support, hey, I'm having a problem with this electronic device, what do they tell you to do? Unplug it, count to 10, and plug it back in. And I always say, I already tried that. I wouldn't have called you if that would solve the problem. We all understand this, but I decided a couple weeks ago, I wanted to understand why it worked. Like, why, by simply restarting something, why does rebooting an electronic, why does it make it work better? And it turns out it's because there's little computers in there, in our computers or in most of our electronics, and they have little operating systems. And sometimes those operating systems get confused. And so by unplugging it, by restarting it, by rebooting it, it resets everything. Now, I could bore you with all the technical jargon of how that works, or I could show you. And so what I'd like to do is I want to show you. I want to invite my oldest son, David Kelly, to the stage. Everybody say, hey, David. All right. David, are you excited to be up here?
Oh, I'm very excited.
I can tell.
Yeah.
I can tell. Okay, so David, for this situation, is the computer. And it's occurring to me right now, for those of you my age or older, this sort of looks like David is a Mac and I'm a PC. Remember those commercials? Remember those? You don't remember those, but that's a good thing to be the Mac. Okay, so David is your computer when it's completely reset, right? He's just ready to go, and he's able to just listen to any command, like spin in a circle. Oh, you can go faster than that. All right. Do jumping jack. Keep going. Jumping jack, jumping jack, jumping jack. All right, do a burpee. All right, good job. Okay. So that's what happens when your computer is fresh and brand new and completely reset. But then as we use our computers, hold on, I don't need to talk into this. As we use our computers, you know, let's say we have to do some research, so we open the internet and we go to Wikipedia, you just got to hold that. And let's say we also were writing a research paper, and so we open another paper and we have to write. But we're also a little bored, and so maybe while we're writing, while we're working, we decide to open up a game, you got to hold that too. And then, you know, that game, that's not fun enough. And so then maybe you open up another game, you got to hold that too. And then let's say you get real bored and you want to go online, you want to go on social media, maybe you want to go on Facebook. And so you go on Facebook and you do that too. And all right, now here's the deal. So your computer, you like that, didn't you? So your computer has to handle all of the different programs at the same time while also doing what you ask it to do. David, spin in a circle. Okay, you can do that pretty well. All right, now do a jumping jack. No. What you have to do, you have to literally place everything down exactly where it was. You have to pick it back up in exactly the same order, and you have to do a jumping jack, but I want you to do it as fast as you were doing it before. No. Pick everything back up. Now put it back down and do a jumping jack. See, he can't go as fast. Now pick it back up. Now do a burpee. Oh, no, right? So see, this is what happens with your computer. When you add more programs, when you add more processes, it's still trying to do everything you've asked it to do, but it can't drop anything. It can't lose anything. And sometimes we get wise to this, and so we said, you know what? I'm gonna close some programs. So I'm gonna close the games because things are going slow. And you know what? I'm gonna close these different programs. And you know what? I'm gonna close Facebook. But I'm gonna do this about Facebook and some programs. You may close it, but it doesn't really close. It doesn't really go away. So David, spin around in a circle. Just keep spinning. Keep spinning. All right, stop. Now do a jumping jack, but you can't break the tissue. You're dizzy. Do a jumping jack, but you can't break the tissue. Do a burpee, but you can't break the tissue. Impossible. No, this is, it's what?
Impossible.
This is at the point where your computer freezes. And then you reset it. And it all goes away. The programs all reset. The bad memory gets cleared out, comes back up, spin in a circle. Do a jumping jack. Do a burpee. And that is why you should reset your computer. Thank you, buddy. You may be wondering, okay, what in the world does this have to do with church and Jesus? Everything. See, what slows the computer down is that it's carrying things and processing programs that it no longer needs. It's trying to do too much. And sometimes, even though the program is closed, the memory, the baggage, the scars are still present. It's only when we intentionally decide to turn it off, to reboot, to clear the memory, only then is it able to rebuild properly, to start over fresh, and to add back what it wants to add back, when it wants to add it back, at the proper time. See, Wellspring, I'm convinced that me and you and all of us are walking around carrying unnecessary programming, unnecessary lessons or scars or baggage we learned from other people. We've got programs in our life. We've got things in our life. We've got obligations and activities in our life that we aren't even interested in anymore, but we don't know how to let them down. We have things that have happened to us. We have trauma. We have pain that we've never dealt with, and it is slowing us down. And I think we are all desperately in need of a reboot. And you may not agree yet, but I'm fine. I'm good. I'm a little tired. I'm a little anxious. But I don't necessarily need a reboot. Okay, I want to take you to some signs that you might need a reboot. We all know what to look for when our computers, when we need to restart them. We all know they start slowing down, they start glitching, you know, our router starts messing up. We know how to reboot it. What are some signs for humans? What are some signs that our souls might need a reboot? Here's a couple. first sign we might need a reboot is overwhelming stress. I say overwhelming because we all have stress. We all walk through with stress every day. We have stressful moments, stressful seasons. But in this season, have you found yourself overwhelmed by stress? Meaning the stress is so great, the stress is so heavy that you've had to develop new habits. You've had to develop new behaviors. You've had to develop new patterns to cope with that stress. It's literally changing the way you live. It's changing the way you sleep. It's changing the way you eat. It's changing the way you function. That is overwhelming stress. And that is a signal, I believe, that we're in need of a reboot. Maybe it's not overwhelming stress. Maybe it's just simply a lack of motivation. You know, you see the obstacles. You see the things in front of you. You see the path. You know what you want to do in your family. You know what you want to do with your friends. If you consider yourself a Christian, you know what God would have you do in those seasons. You see the things, but you just don't have the motivation. You don't have the energy. You just can't find it. Could it be that there are so many different programs running? There are so many different obligations. There are so many things pulling resources from your life that you have forgotten are even there. That it's why you can't find the energy to do the things you know you want to do. Could it be that it's time to reboot and to rebuild properly? Another sign we need a reboot, comparison and jealousy. Look, nobody's looking around. It's just us. Have you felt yourself more and more in this season comparing yourself, your family, your achievements to other people? Do you know why we compare? We compare when we become aware there's something incomplete in us. And we start comparing with other people because we want to know if it's incomplete in them as well. And somehow, well, if they're incomplete and I'm incomplete, it makes us feel better. But here's the thing. You never know what's going on in somebody else's life. You know, especially like on social media and stuff, we're always comparing our behind the scenes to their highlight reels. And so comparison turns to jealousy because we know we're missing something in our life, but it looks like they have it in their life, and so we become jealous of them. And again, those are all signs that something's off inside of us. That the operating system, our soul, isn't functioning properly and is desperately in need of a reboot. And this is true most of the time in our lives, but I think coming out of the last 18 months, I don't think we've ever needed this more. The uncertainty, the pain, the grief, the loss, the anger, the division that's come over the last 18 months of dealing with this pandemic we've all been dealing with. I don't know that we've ever more desperately needed a reset. Because let's be honest, again, just me and you, nobody else is talking, it's just me and you talking. Some of us, I'll put myself in this category, we've developed some not quite healthy habits over the last 18 months. Some new patterns, some new choices to deal with the uncertainty, to deal with the panic, to deal with the stress, to deal with the disappointment. We've adopted some unhealthy patterns. We've adopted some new habits that we keep looking at ourselves and we say, man, this isn't going to last forever. But you know, right now I just got to do this. I just got to get through. Here's what I want you to know today. The God of the universe created you for better than get through. And that's true whether you believe in it or not. I say this all the time. Even if you don't believe in God, he believes in you. He believed in you so much, he sent his son so that he could have a relationship with you. And I don't say that to make you feel anything other than as loved as you are. And if you're here today and you don't believe in God, we are thrilled that you're here because we created our church for you. We literally want to be the safest place in town to doubt God, to have questions about God, to kick the tires of faith. Because here's what we know is true. If you seek him, you will find him. And when you find him, you will love him. Because to truly discover God through his son Jesus is to have your life changed, because it is to discover unconditional love. And so, what I want us to do today and over the next few weeks is to invite God into our lives, to invite him in to reboot our souls, and then to give us a path to rebuild our lives on him and on what he wants. Now, for some of us, this is simply a reminder. It's a reminder from last week. It's a reminder from last month. It's a reminder that the last 18 months were just a season and we can move forward. We can get back on track. It's just a reminder. Now, for others, this is an invitation today. This is an invitation for you to begin to build your life on Jesus and to allow him to reboot your soul. Now, to help us all understand how to do that, I want us to go back to the greatest reboot in human history, the launch of Jesus' church, the launch of his movement. See, I call it the greatest reboot in human history because Jesus literally reset the table. And he made a reboot possible for every single one of us on earth. If you don't know the story, Jesus is, we believe, the Son of God. We don't believe he was just a good dude. We don't believe he was just a wise teacher. We believe he was literally God. He came down to earth. He lived a perfect life, which means he never sinned. If you've never heard of a sin is anything we do God doesn't want us to do. And the reason God doesn't want us to sin is because sin is painful, sin is dangerous. Every regret we have in our life is a result of sin. And so God loves us and he says, hey, don't do that. But we do. But not only is sin dangerous, sin also separates us from God. God can't be around sin. In fact, the only thing God can do to sin is destroy it. But see, God created us and he wanted to love us. We chose to rebel against him. He chose to rescue. You get that? We rebelled, he rescued. He sent his son Jesus to live a perfect sinless life. Then at the age of 33, after a 3-year ministry, he's handed over to the Roman government and they execute him. And the Romans at the time thought, well, that's the end of that. Little did they know, they had just unleashed God's power on the world. Because what the God of the universe did, get this, is he took the punishment I deserved and you deserved and we all deserved for every sin we've ever committed. And rather than punishing me and punishing you and punishing us, he punished his son Jesus in our place. This perfect human being, he punished him for us. And that's why he died. He had to die so that we could be set free from the punishment we deserve from sin. Friday afternoon, they take him down from the cross. They put him in a tomb. They bury him, and he's dead. On Saturday, he stays dead because that's what dead people do. Then on Sunday morning, we believe he comes back to life. Not his ideas, not his teachings. He physically, literally came back to life. He was resurrected as a sign to me and to you and to all of us that if we place our faith in him, our lives can not only be rebooted, our lives can be rebuilt. That every sin, everything we've ever done wrong can be erased. The guilt, the shame, the hurt, gone through the power of Jesus. And then we can choose to rebuild our lives on what he wants for us. This was the promise he made to his 11 closest followers. Jesus had 12 disciples, but one of them, a man named Judas, betrayed him. And so between the resurrection and when Jesus left earth, there was 40 days. And he spends that 40 days with these 11 guys and some of his other closest followers. As best we can tell, there were maybe 120 people total, men and women who believed in Jesus. 3 years, 120 followers. That's what Jesus had done. That's it. And then something happened, and the world was never the same. And what happened is that those followers chose to reboot and rebuild their lives around two promises. And those are the two promises I want us to look at today. And those are the two promises that we're going to talk about for the next few weeks. Because they're not just promises, they are invitations for us to willfully lay down everything holding us back, all other things that are vying for our power, vying for our attention, to lay them down and to pick up these two promises that Jesus makes not just to his first church, but to everyone who will choose to follow him, even 2,000 years later. We know he made this promise because a man named Luke wrote it down for us. Luke was an early Christian. He was a physician by trade. He was also a church historian. Luke records two books for us in what we call the New Testament that tells a story of Jesus' birth, life, death, resurrection, and then the spread of the early church. He wrote one of the biographies we have of Jesus' life named Luke. And then he also wrote a book called the Book of Acts. And the Book of Acts tells the story of God's church, of the movement that spread post-resurrection as these men and women chose to reboot and rebuild their lives on him. And that's where I want to take us today. And that's where we're going to be for the next few weeks. At that moment that the church launched, the moment Jesus hands down this promise and says, rebuild your life on this and the world will never be the same. Because we today have the opportunity to make that very same decision. So if you have your Bibles, open to the Book of Acts chapter 1. If not, it's going to be up here on the screen. As I said, the disciples had spent about 40 days with Jesus. And he's about to ascend into heaven and leave them to go change the world. And here's what he tells them. He says, hey guys, do not leave Jerusalem. They were in Jerusalem. That's where Jesus was killed. That's where he came back to life. They'd been there for 40 days. And he says, don't leave until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. He's like, hey, there's a gift coming. Don't leave until you get it. And we read this and say, all right, Luke, that's great. This is the beginning of the book. Why don't you tell us what the gift is? And Luke would say, because this is the sequel. I told you what the gift was in my first book. You should have read the first one before you read the second one. And I say, Luke, calm down. We'll read them both. But if you've missed it, if you've never read the book of Luke, at the end of Luke, Luke does explain this gift that God promised. Here's what he says. He says, I will send the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus talking. Just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Now, if you're not a Christian or if you've been Christian for a very short period of time, you may not be familiar with what the Holy Spirit is. And so let me briefly explain that the Holy Spirit is the third part of what Christians call the Trinity. And basically what that means is that God is one, but God also exists perfectly in three different persons. God the Father. Now, God the Father, not the Godfather, God the Father is what you think of when you think of God. You probably imagine him up in heaven with a white beard, wearing a robe, or maybe you picture Morgan Freeman. You know, that is what God sounds like, is what I've been told. And so God the Father is what you think of when you think of God. But there's also God the Son. That's Jesus. We believe Jesus has existed forever with God the Father. He came to earth and became a person when he was born. And then he went back to heaven as a person and now is in heaven as a person with God the Father. But he is equally and fully and completely God. So there's God the Father, there's God the Son, and then there's God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity. God the Holy Spirit is the Spirit that lives inside of Christians. God the Holy Spirit is literally the Spirit that teaches us to not be angry anymore, that rids us of rage and guilt and shame. The Holy Spirit is what gives us the ability to forgive other people, and it's what gives us the ability to love other people. The Holy Spirit is what guides us each day. If you consider yourself a Christian and you hear that little voice in the back of your head sometimes that says, hey, don't do this, don't do that, you call that your conscience. That's actually the Holy Spirit. That's God communicating to you through that Holy Spirit. And what Jesus is telling them is, hey, that Holy Spirit's going to come and it's going to give you power. And he had already said that. And so on this last day, he's reminding them. So let's go back. He says, hey, that gift's coming. And then he gives them a timeline. And he says, John the Baptist. This is Jesus' cousin. And if you've ever seen any movies about the life of Jesus, before he begins his ministry, he's baptized by someone. That was his cousin, John the Baptist. And he says, John baptized with water. We all saw Jesus get baptized with water. But in just a few days, you, talking about the disciples, will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's going to come to you. You're going to freely receive it. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. In other words, in just a few days, you're going to get power. And Jesus' disciples heard the word power, and they immediately asked this question. Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Now, if this was a movie, this is where the record would scratch, the music would stop, and the narrator would say, no, that's not what he meant. Because the disciples completely and they had for 3 years. They have been misunderstanding Jesus' mission for 3 years. And I understand why. They had some baggage. They were born Jewish. And at the time, the Jewish nation was being controlled by the Roman Empire. At one point, the Jewish nation had been free. The Jewish nation had been the envy of the known world, because that was God's plan for them at that time. God's plan at this time was to birth Jesus out of the nation of Israel and do something new. But his disciples didn't know that yet. They kept waiting for Jesus to help overthrow the Romans, kick them out of Jerusalem, and reestablish their earthly kingdom, because they wanted that power. That was their expectation. And so when they hear power's coming, they're like, yes, it's finally time to fight. And if Jesus, man, if it were me and I'd been there, when they asked the question, you probably just was like, oh my gosh, how long must I put up with you crazy people? Because no, that was in Noah. That was the opposite of what Jesus had been saying. But here's why it matters. The disciples had to decide in that moment whether or not they were going to keep carrying and keep applying and keep holding on to their old programming, to their old memory, to their old hopes, to their old desires, or if they were going to allow the God of the universe to reboot and remove those desires and rebuild their lives on him. Wellspring, I think we all have the very same choice. We are all carrying around old hopes, old expectations that were placed on us or in us by friends or family members. We're carrying around hurts from people that we don't even know anymore. We're carrying around pain and grudges that we should have forgiven ages ago, but we just keep holding on. And we keep saying, all right, God, when are you going to give me the power to handle this? When are you going to give me the power to deal with this? And he's like, I'm not. Because that's not where I want to go. That's what he had to draw the line in the sand with the disciples. Guys, that's not what we're about. And for us today, it's not what he's about either. There may be some things we need to reboot so Jesus can clear the memory, to free us up to do the things he wants us to do. Here's how Jesus responds, by the way, to their question. The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. In other words, wrong question, move on. And then he graciously reminds them, guys, you're worried about that. You're chasing, you're holding on to those things. Listen to what I'm saying. And he repeats himself. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. In other words, quit looking other places for power. It's going to come when my Holy Spirit comes to you. And the only way to have access to that is to reboot your thinking. The only way to have access to that is to allow him to change you and get rid of all that. But guys, I'm telling you, it's coming. The power is coming. And then he explains why. He says, guys, you need the power because you are going to be my witnesses. The word witness there is best understood in the context of a courtroom. You are going to be on the stand before the world and you are going to talk about me. At the time, these 11 men and the other 100, 110 of their followers were the only people in the known universe who believed that a man died and came back to life. And he says, you got to get out of this thinking about reestablishing Israel. I started the new thing. And I'm giving you the power to do that new thing. And I'm giving you a purpose in this new thing. Be my witnesses. Go tell people about me. Tell people what you saw. Tell people what you heard. And oh, by the way, don't just tell it. Live it out. Show it. Go treat people how I told you to treat people. Go love people how I told you to love. Go forgive how I taught you to forgive. And he even tells them where to do it. He says, do it in Jerusalem, where we are right now. And do it in Judea, in our region. Hey, but also, guys, go to Samaria. See, they did not care for the Samaritans. They were their rivals. They were their enemies. And he says, no, this news isn't just for people you like. It's for everybody. I even want you to take it to the ends of the earth. And that probably echoed in their souls, because what they heard him say was all the way to Rome, to the center of paganism, to the place that was literally holding them in captivity. He says, no, guys, we're not going to overthrow them with power. We're going to overthrow them with love. And if you know your history, 300 years later, that's exactly what they did. But it was only because those men and women were willing to say, all right, Jesus, reboot my life. Everything I thought I wanted, everything I thought I needed, all my desires, all my hopes, all the baggage I'm carrying, all the understandings, reboot. Wipe it away. And I'm going to choose to follow you. I'm going to let you rebuild exactly how you want to rebuild. You're the boss, and I'm not. And you may say, why would they have done that? I mean, we're glad they did. 2,000 years later, we're having a church service because they did that. But why? It was because they grasped the enormity of what Jesus was promising them. It's going to sound simple, but I'm telling you, Wellspring, when we begin to understand this, everything changes. Because here's the power of the promise Jesus was making them in that moment. Here's what he was saying. He was inviting me and you and all of us to believe this basic fundamental truth about life. And it's this, is that God himself provides power to accomplish his purpose. God. God is in charge. He has a plan. He wants you to be a part of it. And here's what he says. Hey, if you join me, if you let me reboot you, I'm going to give you everything you need to do everything I want you to do every single day. You never have to wonder. You never have to worry. I will be there for you. Guys, imagine what tomorrow would be like if we chose to believe this today. That there really is a God who wants a relationship with us. And then he wants to give us everything we need to do everything he wants us to do every single day. Let me show you how that would change our day-to-day thinking. Let's go back to the signs we need to reboot. Overwhelming stress. You know why we are stressed? It's because we don't think we have enough time or money or energy or anything to do all the things we need to do each day. That's why we are stressed, because we feel inadequate. And we can't save ourselves, so our body just causes us to panic. You know what happens to overwhelming stress when you realize you have an eternal God who says, I am with you, I am for you, and I'm going to give you everything you need to do everything you need to do every single day. You never have to worry. You never have to wonder. You never have to doubt. I am with you. Overwhelming stress cannot stand on the rock of Jesus. It dissipates because the foundation of his love and his truth is perfect. He's inviting us to dive in. What about this? What about comparison and jealousy? We compare because we feel like we don't have enough. We're jealous because other people feel like they have it all together. But when we understand, you know what? God gives me everything I need to do everything he wants me to do every single day. And oh, by the way, his plan is better than my plan. He's smarter than me. So if I don't have it, I might not need it. So I certainly shouldn't go through life comparing to other people and being jealous of them. He might have something different for them than he has for me. Again, it gives us a foundation to dispel the lies and respond with truth. What about this one? What about lack of motivation? You lack motivation? I do too. How phenomenal to know we have a God of the universe who says, you don't have to worry about that. I'm going to give it to you. Oh, no, you don't have to. You don't have to gear yourself up. When I want you to do something, I'm going to give you the power to do it. I'm going to provide that just like I did with them. I'm going to give that to you freely. The disciples grasped this truth. The early followers grasped this truth. They rebooted their lives. They rebuilt on him. And as I said, 300 years later, Christianity was so popular in the Roman Empire the emperor himself converted. 300 years. 120 people. Changed the world. You know why? Because they believed this promise. Because they woke up and went to bed every day believing, God's going to provide me the power to accomplish his purpose every single day. God's going to bring it. God's going to give it. And for us today, 2,000 years later, the promise is still true. And here's how good God is. Because you have lives, I have lives, you have careers, you have kids, you have friends, we have so much going on. It's how do we remember this? You know what God gave us? You know what other gift he gave us? He gave us the rhythm of reboot. Not only did he create his gathering, his group, his church, he gave his church a command. He said, hey, gather weekly. Gather together. Do you know why? You know what we do every time when we gather together on a weekly basis? We reboot our souls. When we gather together, when we sing together, when we serve together, when we hear from God's Holy Spirit together, it is an opportunity each week to reboot ourselves. To say, okay, man, what has been depleting me this week? What has happened? It's that comment that I read online. It's that thing that person said. It's that person I need to forgive. It is on me. We get to come to this place, and God's Holy Spirit can say, hey, I can help with that. Hey, I can deal with that. Hey, you got to let that go. Hey, that's not a big deal. We get to reboot every single week. Every week we get to be around people who either love God or are interested in the things of God. We get to serve with God. We sing his praises. His Holy Spirit changes us from the inside out. And we are rebooted and rebuilt to go be his witnesses to a world that desperately needs him. 2,000 years ago, 120 people took this seriously. And the world has never been the same. What would happen, Wellspring? What would happen in your neighborhoods? What would happen at work? What would happen in your schools? What would happen if this August we decided to do the same thing? We decided to say, God, I believe you provide power to accomplish your purpose. And I'm all in. I want to go where you want to go. I want you to help me let go of the stuff holding me back. I want you to help me let go of the residual memories, the residual scars, the residual pain. I want you to reboot and rebuild my life on you. What would happen, guys? I bet your lives would get better. I bet Myrtle Beach will be better. And who knows? Maybe the world will get better. But it starts with us. As I said, for some, this is a reminder. This is a refresher. This is a, yeah, there's some things. Yeah, that, yeah. God, you're so good. Yeah, I'll let you back in. Yeah, yeah. I need to deal with that. Yeah, I need to be free to that. Yeah, yeah. My prayer today is that you will be reminded and refilled. Because here's the amazing thing about our God. When we come to our senses, he doesn't sit us down and say, okay, we got to talk about the last year and all these things you've done. That's not who our God is. Our God forgave those on the cross. He's confused why you're embarrassed about him. He's like, hey, dealt with, done. Come on, let's get back on mission. Let's go. See, for some of us, this isn't a reminder. This is an invitation. It's an invitation to say, you know what? I've never built my life on Jesus. I've never looked to him for power. I've never received his purpose. I've never done any of those things. And so today, you can change that. Today, you can take a step towards faith. You can take a step towards reboot because there's a question every one of us in the room can ask. Hopefully we'll ask it this week and then we'll come back next week so that we can continue to be rebooted into who God wants us to be. But here's the question I'm going to leave you with. Every person in the room can answer this question. Where am I turning for power and purpose? Just where? Where do you look for your power? Where do you turn for your purpose? lots of options, but here's what I'll tell you. If the answer is anything other than the God of the universe, you're missing out. And so if your answer is anything other than the God of the universe, I want to ask a second question. How's that going? Overwhelming stress? Lack of motivation? Struggle with comparisons, jealousy? God wants more than that for your life. He created you for more. And so if you need to be reminded to step back towards Him today, do that. Or if today you want to accept the invitation to choose to build your life on Him, we can do that as well. I'm going to invite everybody in the room to bow their heads and close their eyes for just a moment. And if you came here today and would say you did not consider yourself a Christian, you did not have faith in Jesus, but you would like to change that right now. You'd like to choose to reboot your soul and to begin to live your life rebuilt around Him. And it's very simple. I'm going to pray a prayer out loud. And you can just repeat that prayer in your hearts to the God of the universe, and you can begin a relationship with Him right now. Just pray these words. God, I want you in my life. I want to receive your power, and I want to walk in your purpose. And so I admit that I am a sinner. I have done many things that you would not want me to do, and I have the scars to prove it. I know that that sin broke my relationship with you. But I believe you sent your Son to fix it. I believe Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. And I believe He came back to life as an invitation to reboot mine. And so today I want you to reboot and to rebuild my life on you. I commit to following you, to trusting you, to letting you lead me wherever you want me to go. Because I believe, God, that your plan is better than my plan. Thank you for loving me. Now I want you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for a moment, but I want you to know if you pray that prayer, number one, we think heaven's throwing a party because we're told that heaven celebrates anyone returns to their Heavenly Father. But also we want you to know that as your church, it's a privilege that you're with us. And we want to walk with you every day for the rest of your life as long as you're with us and help you know how to take steps of faith. That's all the rest of your life is going to be, is taking more steps of obedience, steps towards God, steps towards rebuilding your lives on Him. And we love to give people an opportunity to take one step right as they pray. It's a step to go public in a very private way. So in a moment, I'm going to count to three. When I get to three, if you prayed that prayer with me, everybody's still got their heads bowed, their eyes closed. But when I count to three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand as high as you can and just keep it up. Just imagine that it's your very first opportunity to reach out to your Heavenly Father, to thank Him, and to request the power and the purpose that He's promised. Ready? One, two, three. Just raise your hand. Just raise as high as you can and keep it up. Just keep it up for a moment. It's just a way of reaching out to God, saying thank you, calling on Him, being grateful for who He is, receiving what He's done. It's the first step of many of rebuilding your entire life on Him. Okay, you can put your hands down. And you can look at me for just a moment. Guys, the God of the universe is inviting us to reboot. He's inviting us to rebuild. He's inviting us to shake off anything that's holding us back and to move forward into the future He's promised. Over the next few weeks, man, we are going to see how God moved to this small group of people principles he gave, the promises he fulfilled. We're going to learn about how not only does he promise power and purpose, that we receive his power by walking in his purpose. We're going to discover that his power and his purpose mean nothing without his people. That he's created us to live in community with people. And that the end goal of all of it is being his witnesses to help a world discover what's changing our lives. So where are you turning for power and for purpose? Wrestle with that this week. And then come back as we reboot, reset, and rebuild to become the men and women that our gracious Heavenly Father created us to be. Father, we love you so much. God, we're just so thankful, so thankful for your Son. We are so thankful that he came, so thankful he set us free, so thankful he gives us power, so thankful he gives us purpose. Father, I pray today for every person in the room that feels overwhelmed, for every person who feels stressed, every person who lacks motivation, everyone who feels themselves comparing, everyone who struggles with jealousy, Father, I pray that we will be set free today. Not by anything we can do, but simply by choosing to believe what you've done. May we lay it down. And may we reboot and rebuild on your Son. We're just so thankful for him. He makes it all possible. And it's in his name that we pray.